Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 233, stanzas 1 and 2. Bow down thy ear, O Lord, and hear, for I am poor and great my need. Preserve my soul, for thee I fear. O God, thy trusting servant heed. O God, thy trusting servant heed. 1 and 2 of Psalter 233. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, in the 7th chapter, the verses 19 through 30. Luke 7, verses 19 through 30. But first we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. And for I, in the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Luke 7, verses 19 through 30. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus, answering, said unto them, Go your way, and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. And so far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of heaven and of earth, it is in the beginning of this first Sabbath of this new year that we are privileged to gather again around thy holy word and everlasting testimony. And then in also this morning hour, a special way, wherein in the way of thy goodness and in the way of thy providence, thou dost still give that the offices in thy church may be maintained, and that men may be installed in those offices once again in this morning hour. Lord, we ask of thee that thou may remember them and that thou may give to them what is necessary to give their answer another time, that they may be enabled to say yes unto that for which we are not able of ourselves. Lord, that their eye in this morning hour and may be upon thee, who hast instituted the office and who dost call to that office and who dost give the strength that is necessary, the qualifications that are necessary, though in ourselves we feel it so often to be the opposite. But Lord, may thou help them, and may thou remember also him that feels that he must lay down that office. Lord, thou knowest all the things that do transpire also in his heart in this morning hour. Wilt thou give him a rest with it? And could it please thee to go with him in all the needs of the body and of the soul together. Lord, may thou look upon us as a congregation, that thou may remember the families also of the office bearers, for thou knowest what they must give in a special way, in a practical way, in their daily life. Lord, may thou give willing hearts, and may thou supply strength also for each day. And could it please thee to bless the work that is done by our hands as a consistory in the midst of this flock over whom thou hast made us overseers. Lord, that we may be received by them, not because of anything that is in us, but because thou dost set one up and put down another. Then it is in the way of thy providence that we are placed in these offices, Oh, could it please thee to give much prayer in the midst of this flock also for us? And could it please thee to grant thy blessing for each and every one? Oh, that souls may be made alive, and that souls may be profited for that great and never-ending eternity, and that thy word may go forth with power, that thy spirit may sanctify it among us, and that young and old may be brought upon our knees for the first or by renewal, and that thou may show that thou dost dwell among us that is so undeserved. Lord, thou knowest all our sin as office bearers and as members. Oh, who is able to say that we have not sinned? Oh, Lord, convert us for the first or by renewal. And wilt thou forgive our sins? And wilt thou wash us from our sins? And wilt thou make us fit to exist in thy service to a great and never-ending eternity? O Lord, instruct thou us in all thy truth, and may it have a place in our hearts in this morning hour also. Be with old and young together. Be with all of those that are sick and afflicted. Wilt thou supply for them when they have become old? Lord, wilt thou strengthen, wilt thou give a cry to thee and help each day? But it also can be in the life of the young, in mind or in body. Remember her that remains in the hospital, far from her loved ones day by day. Lord, bless those means for her complete recovery. And wilt thou bring her home again at thy appointed time, and that thou may strengthen these parents and the family that are about her. And Lord, could it please thee to bless these callings also to the hearts of young and old. For we are frail creatures. We have sinned against thee, and our punishment does lay upon us. For all the consequences of our sin, they do make themselves evident day by day. In the weakness of the mind and the weakness of the body, everything speaking unto us and saying, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Oh, that we may take heed to the callings that are about us. And wilt thou remember all of thy servants this day, when on this Sabbath day again, and they will begin anew to bring thy word on the Sabbaths of this new year. And Lord, that thou mayst stand on our right and on our left hand. Increase the number of thy truly sent servants. Increase thy kingdom here below, and do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Remember us and give us a good hour to gather in these moments in thy favor. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 19, stanzas 1 through 5. Why dost thou stand afar, O Lord, in our distress? And why dost thou conceal thyself when troublous times oppress? I believe the last collection is for the school. The last collection today is for the school. Psalter 19, stanzas 1 through 5. Thank you. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in the portion of God's Word which was read to you, Luke 7. And thereof, this portion of the 22nd verse, the poor, the gospel is preached. So far, the words of our text. A blessed mark whereby Christ makes himself known. First, he preaches to the poor. And second, he preaches the gospel to the poor. To the poor, the gospel is preached. A blessed mark whereby Christ makes himself known. First, he preaches to the poor. And second, he preaches the gospel to the poor. The angels, congregation, at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ did sing his glory. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And then they gave a mark. They gave a mark by which the Lord Jesus may be known. We heard that it was the mark of humility. It was the mark of poverty. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. That mark was necessary. It was necessary in order that those shepherds may recognize who that babe was. Amidst all of the little children that were in Bethlehem. But that mark that remained necessary, that remained necessary throughout his whole life. And why? Well, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ also in his ministry that was attended with much perplexity among that Jewish nation. Indeed, there were many prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ and who that he would be. And yet that people, they did not recognize him when he came. And why not? Because the way that he came was not according to the expectations of that people. What was the greatest stumbling block unto that Jewish nation concerning the Lord Jesus Christ? That was his poverty, that was his humility, that was that he came, we read in God's word, in the form of a servant. This we read that people despised. We read that they have brought him to Pilate, and there they declared that we will not have such a king. We have no king, they said, but Caesar. John the Baptist, we read, bear record of him, that he was the Son of God. John the Baptist pointed him out. John the Baptist spoke of him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But here we read a question of John the Baptist. And what is that question? Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Never underestimate the power of Satan. Because we read here also of John the Baptist that he is plagued by the devil. He is plagued with doubts concerning those things that he himself has so openly testified in his own life, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, concerning who that he is. Oh, does the devil also plague you, people of the Lord, with such doubts? It is, of course, understandable, because where is John? John is in the prison. And then it is understandable that there are questions in his heart. Am I indeed the forerunner of the Messiah? Then there are questions in his own heart concerning his own life. And that we do not read that the Lord Jesus Christ visits John in the prison, but we read that he is there alone. It is for him quiet. It is for him dark. And then he sends a message. Then he has a question. Art thou indeed he that should come, or look we for another? How does the Lord Jesus answer him? The Lord Jesus does not say, I am he. The Lord Jesus does not send those messengers back to John and say, tell John indeed that I am the Christ. No, he did something else. The Lord Jesus gave the evidences of who he was. What do we read? In that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind, he gave sight. And then he sent an answer to John. And he said to those disciples of John, go show John now all of those things that you do see and hear. He sent that message back to John for the establishing of his faith. And what must John do? John must now take the evidences that he may hear and see, and he must compare them with those things that have been spoken, those things that have been prophesied concerning that Messiah, that he may know for himself that this is he. And therefore the Lord Jesus, he lays out the marks. He lays out the character of that Messiah. And what is the character of that Messiah? Or, in very short, then we may hear that character is that he is come to seek and to save that which is lost. What do we read? The blind see. The lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. What is his character or his works? They are here on earth typical of that which he has come to do, to give deliverance unto fallen man. Thus the marks by which that Son of God may be known. Ezekiel was commanded by the Lord to prophesy against the false shepherds. Why? Because in the time of Ezekiel we read that those false shepherds, they did not heal those that were wounded, and they did not bind up those that were brokenhearted. They did not seek those that were lost. And so he had to prophesy against the false shepherds. When the Lord Jesus came in the beginning of his ministry, and then we read just the opposite. What did the Lord Jesus say of himself? He said that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, because he was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. That he was sent to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the opening of the eyes unto the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Thus, the character of the Lord Jesus Christ that was so different than the character of those false shepherds. The poor in this world are often despised. What do we read in God's word? Solomon, he says, the poor is hated even of his neighbor. But the rich have many friends. That is so not only in a natural way, that is so also in a spiritual way. Because it is often the poor in spirit that are despised by those in this world, even in the church of God, by those who have so much more. But now it is the poor in spirit to whom the Lord Jesus is directing the message of his comfort, of his consolation, of his relief, of his gospel. To the poor, the gospel is preached. What is the origin of our poverty? We were not created poor. No, we have brought ourselves in our poverty. That is in our deep fall. There we have lost the riches in which we have been created. And what were those riches in a very special way? That was the image of God, knowledge, righteousness, holiness. And yet what does fallen man say? Fallen man says, I am rich and I am increased with goods and I have need of nothing. But what does the Lord say? Thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Thus, what is now the great work of the Holy Spirit of the Lord? That great work that is to teach a man his poverty. Did the Lord ever teach to us, congregation, our poverty? Thus, that becomes the character of the church. Poverty. Therefore, the Lord Jesus, he says, blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Thus, children, what do you ask for every day? You say, we ask that the Lord may give to us a new heart. That is good. But what happens when the Lord gives to you a new heart? When the Lord will give to us a new heart, the Lord will show to us how poor that we are. Even though we have a nice house, even though we have all the riches of this world, and we lack nothing in this world, when the Lord grants us regeneration, then we begin to see how poor that we are.
Why? Because all that we have that is passing away. We thought to call our lands after our own names. But we see now that moth and rust does corrupt them. And then we see something of the greatness of those riches that we have lost in our father Adam. But how that I stand now so without God in this world? Oh, never did I realize in my life how poor that I am. That Spirit of the Lord, He makes a man poor in his eyesight. He makes him blind in his own eyes. Oh, there was a time he thought he saw it better even than the people of the Lord. But now he sees different. What did the Lord Jesus say to the Pharisees? He said, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now you say we see. Therefore your sin remaineth. All the work of the Spirit of the Lord to instruct a man in his blindness, the reality that he may lead the blind by a way that they do not know, and that the people may cry to him to say, Lord, I do not know the way. Oh, wilt thou lead me? Wilt thou guide me in that way? The Lord makes that people poor in wisdom. The Lord makes that people a fool in their own eyes. They thought they knew once the way of salvation, but they cannot find it anymore. Oh, they lose all their wisdom. Why? That they may cry to the Lord, Lord, teach me. Lord, instruct me. Because I am ignorant. What does that Holy Spirit instruct that people in the poverty of their righteousness? Oh, they thought once that it would be okay with God. They thought that they were not so bad as it was preached in the house of God. They were not so bad as it says actually in the word of the Lord. That the Lord, He will accept of the good intentions yet of my heart. What is the great work of that Holy Spirit that is to instruct a man in his poverty? Do that people want to give up their own righteousness? No. No, they are holding on to that righteousness, but the Spirit of the Lord, He will strip it away from them. Oh, He will make all their righteousnesses to be as filthy rags. The Lord will set that law before them. And the Lord will say unto them, thou art the man, that they may see the sin of omission, that they may see the sin of commission, and that they may be brought to stand before that judgment seat of God, and that they may be shown their great debt. Oh, what a poverty. Then we see everything that we owe, and not everything that we owe, but also that we are not able to pay it. Because it is not only that it was so bad, but that it is so bad. And that there is no ability to begin even to pay, but I daily increase that debt. All the instruction in the poverty, therefore, the Lord makes them poor in their own strength. Peter thought he could stand against Satan. Even though no one else maybe could, he could. Oh, if all men should deny thee, yet will not I. But then the Lord let him fall. And then Peter may realize how poor that his strength is. Poor in the way of experience. When the Lord is taking away those sweet frames and when the Lord is taking away those experiences as a ground, and they thought the Lord had begun a good work in them, and they thought that they had those marks, and they had hoped, and they had rested in them. And then the Spirit of the Lord takes them away. And what shall we say of those people's prayers? Or are they able to call it a praying? Oh, sure, they can tell you maybe of those times that they have wrestled with the Lord as Jacob, that they were unable to order their cause before the Lord. And then the Lord takes it away. So it seems like there is nothing left. So that there is hardly a sigh, so there is hardly a cry. But there is coldness and hardness and emptiness in their heart. All such poor. They are subject to oppression. To oppression. The devil uses poverty as a mark against the people. It is the opposite of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, he said, blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. But what does Satan do? Satan mocks at it. He says, what kind of religion do you have? Oh, that religion is nothing. That religion shall be nothing. And you will die in that poverty. Shall it be? Shall not be. No, that poverty-making work, that is not according to their flesh, but it is according to the purpose of the Lord. Because what does the Lord say? The needy shall not always be forgotten, and the expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. We see that in our second thought, he preaches the gospel to the poor. To the poor, the gospel is preached. Not to the rich. To the poor. You say, wait a moment. The gospel that has to be preached to everyone in the congregation. Yes, that is true. That is true. But it never enters their hearts. Why not? Because there is no place for it. Because there is no room for it. Because there is no poverty, because they have much too much, because they have never been stripped of their riches. For unto us, the apostle says, was that word preached as well as unto them, but it did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Or it is not directed unto them. Many have the gospel preached to them, but there is a great difference in the application. For many it is a savor of death unto death. But it is the poor for whom that gospel message is intended. It is the poor for whom that gospel message is fitted. It is the poor for whom that gospel message is directed. It is the poor for whom that gospel message is blessed. And what do we read? The rest are blinded. To the poor. The gospel is preached. The Lord, he makes room for his own work. We read that in this whole verse. And we read that in the whole Bible. How many words did the Lord Jesus not speak upon this earth? 3 years. And every time that message of Christ that is exactly, that is perfectly fitted unto his hearers. How did the Lord Jesus speak in the Old Testament? He was not here upon the earth, children. You say he spoke through his servants. He spoke through his prophets. Yes, sent Jonah. And what was that message that the Lord brought through Jonah unto Nineveh? Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. What was that message that the Lord has brought unto the Pharisees and to the scribes? Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. But to the poor, the gospel is preached. Oh, the deliverance of the Lord that is always so perfectly fitted with the ailments and the miseries of his people. The Lord Jesus did not speak out into the air. The Lord Jesus did not just preach healing. The Lord Jesus did not just preach liberty. The Lord Jesus did not just preach the opening of the prison. No, but for each one, they were fitted perfectly to their hearers. What do we read? That he was sent to heal. Yes, not only. He was sent to heal whom? The brokenhearted. He was sent to preach deliverance. To whom? To the captives. To the recovering of sight. To whom? To the blind. The blind see. Those fit together. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And to the poor, the gospel is preached. Those fit together. That is congregation, the true church of the Lord. They are those for whom Christ came into this world. They are those unto whom that message of that gospel comes. And then you know what the Lord Jesus said? Blessed is he who shall not be offended in me. There were many people when the Lord Jesus was on the earth that were offended in him. Rich young ruler. He came to the Lord Jesus with all his good deeds. Lord Jesus sent him away. Sent him away. He said, go sell them all. Why? The Lord Jesus had nothing for that man. Because he was sent to preach the gospel to the poor. The Pharisees, they are offended at the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he sat and he ate with publicans and with sinners. And the Lord Jesus sent them away too. He said, go. Go and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. We read in the Gospel of John that many of the disciples, that was not his 12 disciples, many of his disciples, many of his followers, they went back and they walked no more with him. They were offended. And why were they so offended?
Because of what he said.
And what did he say? He spoke about poverty. He spoke about the poverty of the natural man. Or he spoke about the poverty of every man as he comes into this world. The poverty of man because of sin. What was that poverty? No man, he said, can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Or is that not our poverty? Do we not lie in our inability? And they were offended. They were offended. Are we offended too? It's not my word. And what else did the Lord Jesus speak of? The Lord Jesus, he said, you must eat my flesh and you must drink my blood. That is, you must not only hear my words, no, but it must become personal. It must become part of you. That is, that it is an experimental truth. And many of his disciples, they went back and they walked no more with him. We do not want to hear about our poverty. But now we have a question. Children, you can answer it. We ask you, read the whole Bible. Where do you find one who was lame, deaf, blind, dumb, that was offended in the Lord Jesus Christ? Where do you find one? You cannot find one of that people whom the Lord Jesus sent away. All that is now the blessedness of that gospel message. It is so perfectly suitable unto that people. And that is, congregation, what is also experienced. What is experienced in the life of that people. Christ, he provides everything for a people who have nothing. Who have nothing. And he provides nothing for a people who have everything. Oh, what does that gospel contain? The gospel, that word gospel, that means good news. Good news. Is that gospel a mere invitation that must be accepted or rejected by each one of us? That is Arminian. And that is a hopeless, hopeless gospel to helpless people. Hopeless. Mephibosheth, was he merely invited to the table of the king? Did David say, Mephibosheth, you are now invited to come to my table? If you can only get there. mockery. Oh, to that people. Because they cannot get there. But that was not what David said. No, he said, Mephibosheth shall eat there. He shall eat there. He will not eat there because he is merely invited there. But he is going to eat there because I am going to have him carried there. Because that man, he is so poor that he is not able to come there on his own legs. Is there an invitation in that gospel? Oh, yes. What does the Lord say? He says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Is that then that good news for that helpless people? Where is the hope? Where is the hope for that people who have no feet to come? That is what the Lord Jesus said first. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. That is congregation. Good news. For whom? That is good news for the poor. For a poor, for a wretched, for an undone sinner. What is good news to him? That everything is finished. What is good news to him? Oh, that God has done everything from his sight. What is good news to him? Oh, that blessed message upon that cross when the Lord Jesus, he cried out and he said, it is finished. All the gospel, when the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Jacob, will not forsake them. The good news for that people, fear not. Thou worm Jacob, I will help thee. Oh, to the poor, the gospel is preached. And when the Lord makes that people poor, then they experience the power that is in that gospel. Same as in the rest of that verse. The blind see. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And what Calvin says, interpret it this way. The poor receive the message of the gospel. They receive it. Or then they may receive it, because it comes out of the mouth of the Lord himself. Or then they see. Then they walk. Then they glorify him. To the poor, the gospel is preached. Congregation, do we know what that is? That is the life. That is the life of that people. They do not begin poor. End poor. Because that is the instruction of the Holy Spirit of the Lord their whole life long. But do we know that instruction? If we know nothing of such a life, we know nothing about receiving the gospel. Maybe think we do, but we do not. Because it has never been directed to you. Oh, ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. Lord, show me the reality. Lord, show me the truth. Lord, show me my poverty. And never mock with that people. Children, never mock with the poor. Young people,
Will you listen? Listen. Oh, never mock with the poor of the church of God. The people that have to complain. And maybe you say sometimes too, they complain so much. What now do that people have? All that is a people that are despised. They are despised in a special way by the modern Christianity of our day because they have so much more. But they are not despised by the Lord. No to the poor. The gospel is preached. Do you have to experience that poverty, congregation? Then in your estimation, everything goes so wrong. You thought to obtain. And you have to lose. And the Lord takes everything away. But what does the Lord say? The Lord says, I know thy works and thy tribulation and thy poverty, but thou art rich. Thou art rich. Thou art not poor. And why are you so rich? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. And then he came to do what? To merit riches. To merit riches for that church. Here below, the bread and water shall be sure. We sang that this morning in our home. David, what he wrote, how that I have not seen the righteous forsaken and their seed begging bread. All, no, not begging bread. They did not have all the riches maybe of this world, but they also were not begging bread. Thus it was sufficient to bring them through this world. But now, those eternal riches became poor, that he may merit those riches which truly make them rich, that he may merit everything which is necessary to the reconciliation of the soul of that people with that triune God, and then give it to them, everything for nothing, out of free and sovereign grace, in order that he may preach the gospel to the poor. Amen. Congregation, let us sing. Psalter 186, stanzas 1 through 4. Though I am poor and sorrowful, hear thou, O God, my cry. Let thy salvation come to me and lift me up on high. 1 through 4 of 186. We will now read the form of ordination of elders and deacons, which can be found on page 70 or 145 in the back of your Psalter. Beloved Christians, you know that we have several times published unto you the names of our brethren here present, who are chosen to the office of elders and deacons in this church, to the end that we might know whether any person had aught to allege why they should not be ordained in their respective offices. And whereas no one hath appeared before us who hath alleged anything lawful against them, we shall therefore at present in the name of the Lord proceed to their ordination. But first, you who are to be ordained and all those who are here present shall attend to a short declaration from the Word of God concerning the institution and the office of elders and deacons. Of the elders is to be observed that the word elder or eldest, which is taken from the Old Testament and signifieth a person who is placed in an honorable office of government over others, is applied to two sorts of persons who minister in the Church of Jesus Christ. For the apostle saith, the elders that rule well shall be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Hence it is evident that there are two sorts of elders in the apostolic church. The former whereof did labor in the word and doctrine, and the latter did not. The first were the ministers of the word and pastors who preached the gospel and administered the sacraments. But the others who did not labor in the word and still did serve in the church bore a particular office, namely they had the oversight of the church and ruled the same with the ministers of the word. For Paul, Romans 12, having spoken of the ministry of the word and also of the office of distribution or deaconship, speaketh afterwards particularly of this office, saying, he that ruleth, let him do it with diligence. Likewise, in another place, he counts government among the gifts and offices which God hath instituted in the church, 1 Corinthians 12. Thus we see that these sorts of ministers are added to the others who preach the gospel to aid and assist them, as in the Old Testament the common Levites were to the priests in the service of the tabernacle in those things which they could not perform alone. Notwithstanding, the offices always remain distinct one from the other. Moreover, it is proper that such men should be joined to the ministers of the word in the government of the church, to the end that thereby all tyranny and lording may be kept out of the church of God, which may sooner creep in when the government is placed in the hands of one alone or of a very few. And thus the ministers of the word, together with the elders, form a body or assembly, being as a council of the church, representing the whole church, to which Christ alludes when he saith, tell the church, which can in no wise be understood of all and every member of the church in particular, but very properly of those who govern the church out of which they are chosen. Therefore, in the first place, the office of elders is, together with the ministers of the word, to take the oversight of the church which is committed to them, and diligently to look whether every one properly deports himself in his confession and conversation, to admonish those who behave themselves disorderly, and to prevent as much as possible the sacraments from being profaned, also to act according to the Christian discipline against the impenitent, and to receive the penitent again into the bosom of the church, as doth not only appear from the above-mentioned saying of Christ, but also from many other places of Holy Writ, as 1 Corinthians 5 and 2 Corinthians 2, that these things are not alone entrusted to one or two persons, but to many who are ordained thereto. Secondly, Since the apostle enjoineth that all things shall be done decently and in order among Christians, and that no other persons ought to serve in the church of Christ but those who are lawfully called according to the Christian ordinance, therefore it is also the duty of the elders to pay regard to it, and in all occurrences which relate to the welfare and good order of the church, to be assistant with their good counsel and advice to the ministers of the word, yea, also to serve all Christians with advice and consolation. Thirdly, it is also the duty particularly to have regard unto the doctrine and conversation of the ministers of the word, to the end that all things may be directed to the edification of the church, and that no strange doctrine be taught, according to that which we read, Acts 20, where the apostle exhorteth to watch diligently against the wolves which might come into the sheepfold of Christ, for the performance of which the elders are in duty bound diligently to search the word of God and continually be meditating on the mysteries of faith. Concerning the deacons, of the origin and institution of their office, we may read Acts 6, where we find that the apostles themselves did in the beginning serve the poor, at whose feet was brought the price of the things that were sold, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. But afterwards, when a murmuring arose because the widows of the Grecians were neglected in the daily ministrations, men were chosen by the advice of the apostles who should make the service of the poor their peculiar business, to the end that the apostles might continually give themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. This has been continued from that time forward in the church, as appears from Romans 12, where the apostle, speaking of this office, saith, "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." And in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, speaking of helps, he means those who are appointed in the church to help and assist the poor and indigent in time of need. From which passage, we may easily gather what the deacon's office is, namely, and that they in the first place collect and preserve with the greatest fidelity and diligence the alms and goods which are given to the poor, yea, to do their utmost endeavors, and that many good means be procured for the relief of the poor. The second part of their office consists in distribution, wherein are not only required discretion and prudence to bestow the alms only on objects of charity, but also cheerfulness and simplicity to assist the poor with compassion and hearty affection, as the apostle requires, Romans 12, 2 Corinthians 9. And for which end it is very beneficial in that they do not only administer relief to the poor and indigent with external gifts, but also with comfortable words from Scripture. I now ask those who are to be installed in their offices to please arise. To the end, therefore, beloved brethren, Mr. Gerard Brunn and Mr. Ben Outshorn, that everyone may hear that you are willing to take your respective offices upon you, ye shall answer to the following questions. And in the first place, I ask you, both elder and deacon, whether you do not feel in your hearts that ye are lawfully called of God's church and consequently of God himself to these your respective holy offices. Secondly, whether ye believe the books of the Old and New Testament to be the only word of God, and the perfect doctrine of salvation, and to reject all doctrines repugnant thereto. Thirdly, whether ye promise agreeably to said doctrine, faithfully according to your ability, to discharge your respective offices as they are here described, ye elders in the government of the church together with the ministers of the word, and ye deacons in the ministration of the poor. Do ye also jointly promise to walk in all godliness, and to submit yourself in case ye should become remiss in your duty to the admonition of the church? What is your answer, Mr. Gerard Brun? Yes. Mr. Ben Oudshorn? Yes. The Almighty God and Father replenish you with His grace, and that you may faithfully and fruitfully discharge your offices. Brothers, we have heard of the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, and also of the character of the Church of Christ, and that He says to the poor, the gospel is preached. That is for whom He has come. And if that indeed is for whom He has come, that is the people for whom our offices are instituted. No one wants to be poor. Also, we as office bearers do not like poverty. And we do not like to feel the insufficiency of our own strength and of our own wisdom. But that is now in the first place necessary, that the Lord may instruct us in our poverty, and that so we may be enabled to seek from Him all the wisdom and all the strength that is necessary for our offices. But it is one thing to be ordained and installed to an office, and another thing to carry it out. And this you know already from experience. As a deacon, then we have heard it from the form, that those gifts, they are to be bestowed only on the objects of charity. Thus, your work is directly for the poor. But how do we know who those objects of charity are? That is always the most difficult part. Because a man can say that he is poor, but we are also deceitful people. And thus, for us as a deacon, to be able to distinguish true poverty from a statement of poverty is in the first place necessary, that we may see what the life is, that we may see more than the speech. And when we may be convinced that here is an object of charity, then with all our heart, then those gifts that the Lord has given through the generosity of the congregation for the poor, then with all our heart, then we are able to carry out the task that is laid on our shoulders. And what a blessed task. Because we are the instrument. And when they are truly poor, then there is thankfulness. And we may observe that thankfulness. And then we may see something of the blessedness of that work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then as an elder, it really is no different. Because, as Christ says, the gospel that is preached to the poor. And then we also need to be given that discernment, because a man can say he is poor. But what is now the truth? Then we need that discernment to look beyond the words. Whether a man truly has been made poor by that Spirit of the Lord. And when we may feel something of this, then you know how that your heart that goes so open
It goes so open with what? It goes so open with the gift. The great gift of God in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we may come with so much freedom with that gospel unto the poor. And then we may feel something also of the blessedness of that work, to be the instrument in the hand of the Lord, and that we may be a comfort and a defense unto those poor. May the Lord remember you both in the continuance of your labors in the offices in our midst, and give that you may also experience something continually in a personal way of the blessedness of Him who has come for the poor. Mr. Busicom, you will be leaving us as a consistory after 8 years that you may serve in our midst. Then you have felt it necessary to lay down that office. You will be missed. In our midst, month by month, because your input in our consistory was valued and it was much appreciated. But the Lord knows those afflictions that He has laid upon you, and we also must submit to this. One thing was evident in those years that I may serve along with you, and that is that the welfare of this congregation that lay on your heart, that is now something that I trust that will not change. And therefore, we hope that the Lord may go with you, that He may remember you in all your afflictions, and that the Lord may give that you may remain with us on your knees in your own secret chamber in your thoughts, and that the Lord may strengthen you with your family and in your own private labors, and give that you may be a support yet to us in the way of prayer. Congregation, I ask you to stand and to sing Psalter 368. 368 stanzas 4 and 5 on behalf of those who have just been installed once again in their office. I will abundantly provide for Zion's good. The Lord hath said, I will supply her daily need and satisfy her poor with bread. And the fifth, salvation shall adorn her priests. And what follows, 4 and 5 of 368 standing.
Therefore, ye elders, be diligent in the government of the church which is committed to you, and the ministers of the word. Be also as watchmen over the house and city of God, faithful to admonish and to caution everyone against his ruin. Take heed that purity of doctrine and godliness of life be maintained in the church of God. And ye deacons, be diligent in collecting the alms, prudent and cheerful in the distribution of the same. Assist the oppressed, provide for the true widows and orphans. Show liberality unto all men, but especially to the household of faith. Be all with one accord faithful in your offices and hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, being good examples unto all the people. In so doing, you will purchase to yourselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus, and hereafter enter into the joy of our Lord. On the other hand, beloved Christians, receive these men as the servants of God. Count the elders that rule well worthy of double honor. Give yourselves willingly to their inspection and government. Provide the deacons with good means to assist the indigent. Be charitable, ye rich, give liberally and contribute willingly. And ye poor, be poor in spirit, and deport yourselves respectfully towards your benefactors. Be thankful to them, and avoid murmuring. Follow Christ for the food of your souls, but not for bread. Let him that hath stolen or hath been burdensome to his neighbor steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which are good, that he may give to him that needeth. Each of you, doing these things in your respective calling, shall receive of the Lord the reward of righteousness. But since we are unable of ourselves, let us call upon the name of the Lord, and at the same time we will close this service. O Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, in that it hath pleased Thee for the better edification of Thy church to ordain in it, besides the ministers of the word, rulers and assistants by whom thy church may be preserved in peace and prosperity and the indigent assisted, and that thou hast at present granted us in this place men who are of good testimony and we hope endowed with thy spirit. We beseech thee, replenish them more and more with such gifts as are necessary for them in their ministration, with the gifts of wisdom, courage, discretion, and benevolence, to the end that every one may in his respective office acquit himself as is becoming, the elders in taking diligent heed unto the doctrine and conversation, in keeping out the wolves from the sheepfold of thy beloved Son, and in admonishing and reproving disorderly persons. In like manner, the deacons, in carefully receiving and liberally and prudently distributing of the alms to the poor, and in comforting them with thy holy word, give grace both to the elders and deacons that they may persevere in their faithful labor and never become weary by reason of any trouble, pain or persecution of the world. Grant also, especially thy divine grace to this people, over whom they are placed, that they may willingly submit themselves to the good exhortations of the elders, counting them worthy of honor for their work's sake. And give also unto the rich liberal hearts towards the poor, and to the poor grateful hearts towards those who help and serve them, to the end that everyone acquitting himself of his duty, thy holy name may hereby be magnified, and the kingdom of thy Son Jesus Christ enlarged, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 112, stanzas 3 and 4. Let all who seek thee seek to see thy face be glad and joyful in thy grace. Let those who thy salvation love forevermore proclaim, O praise the Lord, who dwells above, and magnify his name. 3 and 4 of 112. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.